Morning.
Morning.
Okay. Thank you, Jesse and Jonathan. Okay. Beautiful day, isn't it? Have y'all had a good week? I got my 30. I got more than 30 miles in this week. No, why are y'all clapping? Because I don't get it all the time? I got to quit telling you my stuff, don't I? It's all good. All right. But, yeah, I did. I got more than 30 miles in this week. But I won't do 30 this week because I'm going to run another race on Saturday. So when I run a race, I don't usually, you know, I chill back a little bit because, you know, you need to save your body a little bit so you can put all the steam in a race, right? So, But Friday morning, my friend of mine and I, we went to run at 6 o'clock in the morning, and we were finishing up our run, and we only ran 4 miles that morning. So we ran 4 miles, and there's three guys standing at the end of the trail, and they were talking, and we went up and started talking to them, and one of them was 68, one of them was 64, and the other one was 62. They said, "Well, you know, what do you guys do? You know, what's your regimen? I said, "Well, we're doing 30 miles a week." I said, "Yeah, I'm going to be doing more than 30 this week." You know, well, we try to do 42. They do 7 miles 6 days a week, 68, 64, and 62 years old. I mean, these guys were fit as fiddles. You know, all smiling and, you know, full of life. And I thought, you know what? That's important. You know? I mean, we're going to have to do something. We don't have to run 40 miles a week. But we got to do something, don't we? Because look, folks, if we don't do something, this flesh is going in the opposite direction, isn't it? And, you know, your flesh is a way of thinking. There's a lot of times I don't feel like running. But I start playing the movie in my head. What am I going to look like? What am I going to be doing 5 years from now? You know, I don't want to go. I've been in nursing homes. A lot of times people can't even feed themselves because they never really, their minds are good, their hearts are good, but they can't even, they lost their dexterity and their movement and their muscles and stuff. They deteriorated. Am I making sense? But you know what? That's the cause of not using it. That principle of atrophy sets up. Atrophy means a wasting away of, you know, muscles. And so the idea is we're going to have to do something. If you're going to fulfill God's plan, right? And I like what a guy I respect in leadership, I heard him in a conference one time. He said, his name's Rob Thompson. He said that we must deny the present day cravings in order to have the fulfilled future of tomorrow. We must deny the present day cravings in order to have a fulfilled future of tomorrow. Did you get that? You know, our flesh wants to have a party all the time. You know, our flesh wants to go do its thing. You know, my daughter, she graduated from Wright State, and she called me this week, and she's probably going to hear this on this, but you're going to be all right, Angie. But now, she called me this week, and she's made an adjustment in her lifestyle because she wants to go back to school and be a children's nurse. So she signed up to Edison. She's already got a bachelor's degree, but she's going back to school because she wants to, you know, become a children's nurse. And so she's living with her brother. I thought, you know what, why don't you come on home? You know, that feels like a step back when they come back home, you know. So she's living with her brother. And she called me and she was, you know, kind of concerned and feeling emotional, you know, like, did I do the right thing? I said, you did the right thing. I said, you don't want to stay in a place like that and be miserable. She just can't. She works for the government. She has a good job. She can't stand it. Gonna be all right. We got some other folks listening at the government too, but it's going to be all right. But the idea is, you know, she's making adjustment now of her present day cravings, right? Because she wants a better future of tomorrow, you know, does this make sense? Little idea, you know what I'm saying? So that's the idea behind that. Now, do we have any graduates here today? I know we got one or two out there. Come on. We only have two? All right. Let me see. I'm going to get one to, this one to Tyler. This one. Okay. I want you to stand up here. All right. We always like to honor our graduates, and something we do is we like to share from Habakkuk chapter 2. And Tyler, what you going to do, big boy?
I'm going to be a German teacher.
So do you have like school and all you're going to go to? Going to Bowling Green. Now, you went to Germany here this last summer, yeah. He went to Germany last summer, and that probably helped in your decision, right? That's cool. Germany. Yeah, German, you know? That's awesome, man. Be a German teacher. That's, you know, that's a good thing. You know what? When you're doing what you're really, your heart's telling you, you know what? The idea is to do what makes you happy. What gives you the most joy, that's where you know you're doing the right thing. Whatever gives you the most joy. Well, we're glad you're going to be a German teacher. Maybe you can come back and teach me some German. Ein, zwei, drei, vier. See, I can count in German, right? Desiree, what you going to do?
I want to study law.
She wants to study law. She's going to be a lawyer. Now, you won some thing here in, what was it, this year? Last year, you went to a real court, right? And she won an award. I mean, you know, she's got it going on. She's going to be a lawyer. If I need me a lawyer, I'm going to call up Des. Because I tell you, she's a hard worker. I mean, she works back in the cafe and just always has a good spirit about her. Man, we need to encourage these people, don't we? And, you know, she wants to fulfill her dreams. And, you know, with God's help and us praying and helping and encourage, they can do this thing, right? Well, see, what you guys have is a vision. You've seen what you want to do. So here's what Habakkuk says. He says, in Habakkuk chapter 2, he says, I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I am corrected. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it, for the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak, and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. You write this, you write down what you feel that God's calling you to do, and you look at it every day, and I'm going to guarantee you, it'll happen. It will show up. If you can see yourself doing what you're going to do, it will happen. I used to see myself preaching. I'm telling you the truth. I mean, and I was in this plant and working as an analytical cookbook chemist kind of thing. And and I just hated it. And I just knew I had this call on my life. And I began to see this. You begin to see if you can't see it, it's not going to happen. But if you can see it, it'll happen. That's why vision is so powerful. That's why he says in Proverbs 29:18, where there's no vision, the people perish. That means ongoing destruction. So write that vision down. And so what we have here? We have a pen set we want to give you. And it's a pen and pencil, a nice mechanical pen and pencil set for you to write your vision down. And get you started. You know, we're all going to be praying for you, right? And I want to pray for you right now, and we love you, and we're glad to have you a part of our body here, and we know that God has a bright future for both of you. All right, let me pray for you. You guys just reach up your hands here, and let's pray for Desiree and Tyler. Father, we come to you right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for Tyler and Desiree, Lord. You said that they have been created in Christ Jesus for good works, which you prearranged beforehand that they would walk in them. Lord, we believe that they're going to walk in all that you've called them to, Lord. Lord, we thank you for what you're doing in their hearts and in their minds and in their lives. Lord, we thank you for what they're seeing themselves as, and they can see themselves in the future. Lord, we thank you for vision. Now, Lord, we ask that you touch them in a special way, even in this moment, that they're not just up here just because, or just for a show, or but you are doing something even now, Lord. We thank you for that, Father. So, Father, we ask that you fill both of them with the knowledge of your will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that Tyler and Desiree will have a walk worthy of you, Lord, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, that they would be strengthened with all your might according to your glorious power with patience, long-suffering, and joy. For the joy of the Lord will be their strength. Father, may they continue to pursue all that the joy of the Lord has for them, and that will be in their calling, that where there's joy, that's what you're calling them to, Father. Father, we thank you for it, and we trust you in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. All right. God bless you, Desiree. Isn't she precious? Tyler, God bless you, man. All right. All right. Now where are we at? Okay, here we are. What have we been talking about? We've been talking about honor and authority and respect, right? Honor and respect. Where does that come from? Comes from where? The fear of the Lord. Good, Jennifer. Comes from the fear of the Lord. So in other words, it comes from you and your heart, right? It talks about in Proverbs 1:7, it says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And that word fear means what? Reverence, honor, and respect. So the reverence, honor, and respect of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. It's the beginning of knowing God. That's what that word knowledge means, knowing God. So the beginning of knowing God, that's what's lacking in our society. Is there's no honor and there's no respect. So, and that's showing that there's a lack of the fear of God. Am I making sense? There's a lack of the fear of God. So now think about this. Divorce rate is higher in the church than it is in the world system. Because there's a lack of the fear of God. There's a lack of honor and respect. Because if the honor and respect was in its place, divorce would dissipate. Now think about this. What does honor mean? Honor means valuable. It means high esteem. It means reverence. It means to respect and to regard a favorable regard, to have a favorable regard. So when we honor somebody, where does it come from? You. Well, they have to earn my respect and my honor. That's not the kingdom. See, we're talking about the kingdom of God, right? It's when we honor somebody and respect them, it's not based on how they treat us or what they say to us or what they look like. It's based on our relationship with God. And when we aren't honoring and respecting others, it's a lack of our fear of God. Then we're saying we don't know God in this area. But God is trying to get us to know Him in this area. Does that make sense? And so that's why we have to understand that this area of fear, the fear of the Lord, and honoring God and people. Because what did we talk about last week? It says, honor your father and your mother, what? That it may be well with you and that you may have long life on this earth. Well, so, and this is the first commandment with a promise. So that's the promise. What's the promise? That it may be well with you and that you may have long life on this earth. So think about this. If I've got people that come and I've counseled people and talked to people that they talk about their parents like, you know, negative. Well, you don't know what my dad did to me. Well, you don't know what my mother did. She walked out on us. How am I supposed to honor that? Well, you see, it doesn't matter. You know what? If you've been sexually abused, verbally abused, physically abused, you are still to honor that parent. That it may go well with you. You see that? Now think about this. How can I do that? You're not to honor what they did. You're to honor them as your parent. Because God says so. And what they've done to you, you have to forgive them. It's not an option. You must forgive them. That's why Jesus said, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who against us. You see? We have to forgive them. And you can only do that in the knowledge of God, in knowing God, with the fear of God. You can't do that on your own because you'll want to retaliate and you'll rehearse that in your mind. And that'll, you know what? That will be something that can destroy your entire life because you're pondering it and mulling over it and rehearsing it in your mind. Am I making sense? But you see, when you get the truth on the matter, what's the Bible say? In Jeremiah 1:5, it says that God knew you before you were even in your mother's womb. So he knew you before you even showed up in your mother's womb. So it's not what your mother and father did to you. It's what God's got for you, right? Do you see this? He just used them to get you here to do his will and his plan, not theirs. Do you see this? And so here's the idea. We need to get God's thoughts on what we're to do and how to live. And the Bible is what? Precept upon precept. Right? What's precept mean? Before thought. Before thought. The Bible is God's before thoughts about you and I. In the beginning was the Word. Remember, what's the word Word mean? Thoughts communicated. This is God's thoughts communicated to you and I about how he knew us before we showed up on the planet Earth. And as we grow in our knowing him, now we get his thoughts on the matter. See? Now we're getting his concepts. They become our concepts. His precepts become our concepts. And when they become our concepts, now, what's it say? My thoughts, in Isaiah 55, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Nor are my ways your ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down from heaven and does not return there, but waters the earth and makes it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be. It shall not return to me void, but it will prosper in the thing for which I have sent it. And then you will be led out with joy and walk in peace. Now think about this. When you get his thoughts are higher, right? When you get his concept, his precepts, and they become your concepts, now I no longer have to think about what happened to me or what was done to me. I'm thinking God thoughts. You see that? He says, my word will, and now you'll be led out with peace and walk in joy. Romans 14:17 says, the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. Now you're walking in the kingdom of God. When you get God's thoughts on it, now you are establishing yourself in the kingdom of God. And that's what you're created for. Now think about this. That's what you're created for. Now, he says, it will not return to me void. What? His word, right? So now, if it won't return to him void, that means empty. That means his word is being fulfilled in your life. Did you get that? Say it's fulfilled. Yeah. It's being fulfilled in your life. And so what's happening? You are walking in what God created you for. But apart from that, if you're not getting it from God's word, it's decepts, right? deception. Because, folks, listen, we cannot create thoughts. Thoughts come from two places, from God or from old Bubba Breath himself, Satan. Am I right? You don't have the ability to create thoughts. If you want to talk to me after the service, we'll talk about it. But I'm telling you, you don't. So the idea is we want to be in the kingdom and advance God's kingdom. So that's what we're after. And that's what every one of us is looking for. We're looking for that. We long for our lives to be fulfilled in what God sent us here for. Am I making sense? Remember, we talked last week that children are a heritage of the Lord. God sent them here, right? How they spend their time determines how they're going to spend eternity. That's why we have to repent, be born again spiritually, and get into God's word and go forward in Him. Doesn't this make sense? See, apart from that, we're being deceived. Now think about this. Go with me to 1 Samuel chapter 2. We're going to use that for the foundational scripture today. And verse 30. Whoops. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30. We've been talking about the authority of God, and this idea of authority is so big. So, do you see, when you get God's thoughts on it, and you're walking in the kingdom, who's ruling in your life then? God's ruling, right? That's authority. If you don't get God's thoughts on it and His word, and it becomes yours, then who's ruling in your life? Huh? Come on, help me out. Who is it? Because Jesus said, what did Jesus say? He said to the Pharisees, you are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. You see that? That's the way it is. That's the way it is. John chapter 8 is where I just quoted from. Now, you with me? 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30. We always stand here as we read the word because we honor God's word here. Amen? Okay. Therefore, the Lord God of Israel says, I said indeed that your house and the house of your father would walk before me forever. But now the Lord says, far be it from me, for those who honor me, I will honor, and those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for this day. We thank you, Father, for everyone that's here this morning. We thank you for your presence. Lord, we just ask that you open our eyes and our ears to hear and receive your word today. Lord, communicate and give us understanding in this area of honor and respect, Lord. Lord, we long for that because, Lord, we know you're calling us to that, Father. Father, move today, Lord. We thank you for your presence. You said where two or more are gathered in your name, that there you are in our midst. Lord, we thank you for your presence. Let none of us remain the same today because we have been in your presence. We ask it in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, amen. You may be seated. Okay. Now, we've been talking about authority. Everybody say authority. People, you know, and if you're sitting there and you think, oh man, authority, and it's just kind of getting in your crawl and you just, you know, you're all, you know what? You're in the right place. Because, folks, we have got to grow in this area of authority. There is such a lack of authority in our society today. Less than 4% of our generation today knows anything about the Bible. In the 60s, it was like 68% had a good grip and understanding of the Bible. It's on a major decline. Young people don't want to go to church. But where you see young people in church, What I'm teaching on honor and respect, that's where they're going. Where God is moving is His ways, His principles are being established. Am I making sense? Now, that's because He's moving. And there's a major shift going on right now. Things are changing, aren't they? Fast. And so this honor and this respect is something we got to get back into our lives and into the church. Now, we looked at 1 Samuel there, chapter 2. He said, God says, if you honor me, I'm going to honor you. It's that simple. And so to honor means what? To esteem highly, to have a favorable regard, to value, right? To respect, to reverence. So we want to have that towards God. And when we do, that's showing that we have the fear of God in our hearts. And so the idea is, we want to be walking in the fear of the Lord, because the fear of the Lord leads to life. And those who have it will be satisfied, the Bible says. Will be satisfied in Proverbs. Now think about this. We've been talking about authority. And last week we talked about women and their the authority in the home, right? You remember that? If you weren't here, get the tape. But the idea is, we have to understand what's the four categories of authority? Civil authorities, right? That would be the president, the mayor, you know, the police, you know, civil authorities. So we have to honor them. And then the next one is social authorities. What would that be? Teachers, baseball coaches in general, bosses, employers. That would be social authorities. And then we have domestic authorities. That would be parents over children. And in the home, the husband is the head of the wife. Spiritually, doesn't mean they're one's greater than the other. They're equal, but there's a spiritual order there. And when the wife will submit to the husband in the Lord, it brings health and wholeness to the family. But if she's always resisting that, because, see, it says in Romans 13, when you resist the authority, you resist the authority and ordinances of God. And judgment will come to your house. You see, that's why there's so much strife in homes. Because women just don't understand. Well, not just women. I'm not categorizing women. But no, I'm not now. Come on now. I'm trying my best, folks. Women, you know, not women, men too. Women and men need to understand this idea of authority. Because when we do, it makes our life sweeter. It's because it's the way God created us. And so when there's always this resistance, it creates strife and chaos. But if we begin to understand, then now God is in control. And it becomes what He created it to be. This is so important. I'm telling you, this is so important. So we talked about the women submitting to the men. All right? Today we're going to talk about how the man is to honor his wife a little bit. And then we're going to talk about church authorities, okay? Now, like I said, to save time, I'm going to go right to the man, all right? All right. And actually, I'm going to read to you from 1 Peter 3:7, and I'm going to use the New Living Translation. It's a translation that means it's accurate. So, this is what it says. In the same way, you husbands, 1 Peter 3:7, in the same way you husbands must give honor to your wives. Treat her with understanding as you live together. She may be weaker. Now, I'm going to stop right there. She's not weaker. She's only weaker physically. You know what I'm saying? Most women are, you know, I know some of you probably show me what for, but you know, Most, you know, it's just the way they're designed. They're not designed like a man, you know? A man is a little bit strong. A man needs to be putting stuff up and helping her lift things and do things because sometimes she needs a little help. Because physically, she's just not built that way, right? No, are you agreeing with me? If that doesn't mean weaker mentally or spiritually or any, you know, it means it's a physical thing is what he's talking about here. I did some research on this, okay? So that's what that means. Yeah, because, you know, they hear that and they think, weaker? You know, they want to argue, but I'm trying to show you, not women, you know. It's going to be all right. Hey, everybody say authority. Authority. We're going to understand this stuff. That's it. You know, I might have to make a few blunders up in here, but we're going to be all right. We're going to get it. All right. Here it is. So, as you live together, she may be the weaker vessel than you are, but she is your equal partner in God's gift of new life. If you don't honor her as you should, your prayers will not be heard. Huh? He says, if you don't honor her as you should, your prayers, men, aren't even going to be heard. Now, I think this is worthy of listening to. Are you listening to me? So, we have to step it up in this area, men. I'm talking to you. Because if we will, who's it going to benefit? Huh? Us. Us. Well, she may be having PMS or a bad day. But you know what? Is that right? You guys going to mess with me today, aren't you? I know. But you know what? I understand once a month it just things change a little bit, but that's all right. We need to grow in that area, right? So here's my point. Here's what the enemy do whenever that's going on. He'll jade a man's view of her and think, you know, start thinking negative, and then you lose your honor and respect, and then that starts to affect everything in the home. But really, if you remain in your relationship with God, it's not based on how she's treating you or what she's saying to you or how she's acting or what she looks like that day or whatever, right? Oh, boy. I'm messing with you. Hey, you know what? It's all right. But you see, this is healthy. This is healthy. I'm trying to show you it's not based on anything but you and your relationship with God. Yeah. Now, are you with me? I think I feel confident that you all are with me. Because you know some things got to change. Something's going off in our society. And we have to line it up with His Word. Amen? Now listen. Men, you should open the doors for your wife. I mean, if you're going to the grocery, to the, you know, bank, to the, get your dog checked out, whatever. You need to open the door for her, not just coming to church, right? You should fill up her gas tank for her. And even pay for it. Uh-oh. Yeah. Well, gas prices are going up. We're going to talk about that too. Now listen. When choosing a vacation, you need to find out where she wants to go. Men? Now see, now we're all right now, girls. Oh. Do you see? Really, when choosing a vacation, you need to prefer her over your desires. That's right, isn't it, Roger? That's right. And when you begin to live like this, it changes. Who's going to benefit? You'll have more fun going where she wants to go than if you fought and argued and kicked and scratched and went, ended up going where you're never going to enjoy it. God's going to make sure you don't enjoy it. Oh, yeah. Somebody said if you want a happy life, you got to have a happy wife. Amen. Right? Oh, boy. All right, listen. Okay. As husbands, the only time your decision should override your wife's desires is when you're certain, without a doubt, it's the best option for her, the family, and the kingdom of God. Did you get that? I'm going to help you out. We're going to read it again. As husbands, the only time your decisions should override your wife's desires is when you're certain it's the best option for her, the family, or the kingdom of God. Otherwise, you are to prefer her desires over yours. This is one reason you are made a leader over her, to lay down your life for her. This is honoring your wife, and you will be blessed. You see, as a husband and as a man, you are called to lay down your lives for your wife. The Bible says, husbands, love your wives as Christ did the church. Romans 5:8 says, even while we were sinners, Christ died for us. So even in all our ugliness, Jesus died for us, right? That's what God is saying to the man. Even when they're not acting, they're acting ugly. Now, sometimes you can act ugly. We all can, right? Even while they're acting or whatever's going on, we're to keep loving them and laying down our life for them. Did you hear that, men? That's right. Who's going to be blessed? You will be. I'm telling you, folks, this is God's wisdom. This isn't the world's way and the world's wisdom. This is God's wisdom. Remember, 1 Corinthians 2:7 says, but we, that's you and I, we speak the wisdom of God. Where? In a mystery. The word mystery means truth being revealed. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages. For who? For our glory. For our glory. What's the word glory mean? What God originated and intended. When I tap into that wisdom and I begin to honor people who are treating me wrong and coming against me or maybe not acting the way I want them to act, when I begin to, that's God's wisdom. And now the glory of God is coming out in my life. See? It was ordained for our glory. Right? That's what glory means. Now, the plan and purpose of God is being fulfilled in your life. That's what every one of us are looking for. Every one of us are looking for that. Everybody on the planet is looking for that. They just haven't tapped into it. Are you with me? They're looking for it in other things. It's only going to be found in Him and in His wisdom. Make sense? All right. Now, okay, go with me to Hebrews chapter 13. Aren't you glad you came to church today? Verse 17. Now we're going to talk about church authorities. Okay, what would church authorities be? Would be a bishop. It would be an elder, a deacon, and it would be like the fivefold ministry: apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers, and pastors for the equipping of the saints. That's the authority of the church. So that's been established by God. Now it says in verse 17, Hebrews 13:17. Obey those who rule over you, and be submissive, For they watch out for your souls as those who must give an account. You see that? A person that's been called and is in their calling must give an account for the people that they've been entrusted with. You see what I'm saying? That's why I can't even go to Norris Lake and get on a boat and go way out in the middle and nobody else around. Now, it won't be 10 minutes and some of y'all's faces will be popping up. You understand what I'm saying? It's a calling. It's a calling. And they must give an account. God will deal with them, right? And that's the idea. When you begin to see that person the way God has called you to, and honor that, and respect that position, who benefits? You do. Now, that's why, you know, in the history of the church, we've seen all these people that have fallen, and they've, you know, there's been some of these ministers that have had this opulent lifestyle, and they just kind of, you know, maybe squandered or messed up some way morally. But here's the idea. If the enemy can jade your opinion and your view, now what you do is you start categorizing all ministers. You see that? What's he got today? What's this preacher got today? That kind of attitude, you're not going to get anything. Remember, Jesus was in, said he could not do any great and mighty works there. Why? Because they did not honor him. He was restrained because of the way they received him. And that's my point. And that's the way it is. That's why we got to clear our vision up and get this understanding of authority so we can receive from God and all that God has for us. Because all ministers aren't like that. The ones that I know, most of the ones that all the ones I know aren't like that. They really had a true calling and really have put their lives into it. Am I making sense? All right. Now, obey those who rule over you and be submissive. Submissive. Sub means like a submarine, under. Missive is mission. Submission, submissive. In other words, I'm going to submit to this mission that this person is bringing. Okay? That would be the vision of this church and God's word we're bringing in here. I'm going to come up under that, and I'm going to benefit. Now watch this. For they watch out for your souls as those who must give an account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief. For that would be unprofitable for you. You see that? That would be unprofitable for you. Who's it going to affect? Huh? You. Do you see that? And so if you can have a healthy perspective of it, you're going to benefit from it. And that's what the enemy tries to do. He tries to cloud and jade our vision and to get us to be cynical and always suspicious and wondering what's going on, what they're doing, what they did, all that. You bring that in, you might as well stay home. Am I making sense? Because, folks, listen, when we can really honor that, we're going to receive and things are going to happen. Really? We're in another day. Go with me to 1 Timothy chapter 5. We're going to look at verse 19. Do not receive an accusation against an elder. That word elder would be leader. Leader, except from two or three witnesses. So an accusation against a leader, a church authority. Don't receive an accusation against that person unless you have two or three witnesses. And two or three witnesses means they saw it with their eyes and they heard it with their ears. It means they have legal document of what they're saying and will stand up in court. Are you with me? Don't even receive it. You see, now think about this. This is what happens. When I the church I used to go to, someone came up and whispered something in my ear and told me something about this pastor, and I started, and I would go to church judging him in my mind, and it affected my whole family. It affected everything I was doing, me at work. It affected everything. Because I believed something, somebody came and told me, and you know, it ended up not even being true. Isn't that the way the enemy would work? Now, God put this in here for your benefit. Don't even listen to it unless they got proof. If somebody comes up and wants to whisper in your ear, shut them off and shut them down. Are you with me? Because who's it going to affect? Do you see this? Oh, my goodness. I'm telling you. This is so big. This is so big. That's for your benefit. That's why I won't listen to nothing. Somebody comes up and starts speaking negative about, you know, I've had people come up and say, oh, Benny Hinn this or Joyce Meyer or somebody. You know what? I shut them off like that. I don't sit around and watch them on TV all the time. But you know what? I shut them off. I don't want to hear nothing negative. Unless they got documented evidence and show me, you see what I'm saying? Then I don't have an ear for that. Because I want to make sure I keep myself in a position so I can receive from God. And I'm the one that's going to be blessed. Are we making sense today? I went to, years ago, I used to be like an evangelist. And I would travel, do some traveling. And in prisons and in churches. And I got this call to go to North Carolina one year. And when I went there, you know, they sent me plane tickets and I flew down there. And I got there. And, you know, they picked me up and, you know, they treat me like, I mean, they're treating me like royalty. You know, they bought me this big old fruit basket and this, you know, like, you know, I don't. You know, I wasn't mature enough. I was just like, dang, what's all this? But they honored me. You know what I'm saying? They really did. They honored me. And, you know, took care of everything. All my meal, everything. Just really took care of me. And they had a major strife problem in their church. It was a church of about 800 and some people. And they had a major strife problem. Well, God, you know, and they didn't tell me that, but God showed me. And I preached on pride and humility that weekend. And well, when I got done, I did like a 3-day, like a, you know, revival. They used to call it revivals, but that's what it was. Well, the last night, I am not exaggerating, 95% of the people in that church were on their knees crying out to God. I'm telling you, the presence of God was so strong. Not because of me. Do you hear what I'm saying? Not because of me, but because they honored the one God had sent. You see that? They honored the one God had sent. And I got a call 2 months later, and they said, you know, our church has just totally changed. And they ended up calling me back. I ended up doing a wedding for a couple in that church because they wanted me to be the one to do it. Do you see what I mean? The idea is, folks, it's not so much the messenger, it's the way you receive and perceive the messenger. Come on. Am I making sense? Now, go with me. Whoops, I left my Bible down here. We're getting out of time. But now think about this. Look what it says in verse 17, same chapter. Let the elders or the leaders who rule well be counted worthy of what? What honor? Double honor. You know, nowhere else in the Bible does it say double honor. And you know what he's talking about here? Wages. Those folks ought to be taken care of. Well, he's trying to fix himself up this morning. I'm trying to bring understanding so we all can be in this and moving in the same direction. Am I making sense? Because look what it says there in verse 18. For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain, and the labor is worthy of his wages. He's talking about wages there. That's what he's talking about. Now, go with me to John chapter 13 real quick. John chapter 13. And we are going to close because we are out of time. But I got so much. Your lunch, it'd be all right. Lunch is coming. You'd be all right. John 13, 20. Jesus said this, most assuredly I say to you, he who receives whomever I send, you know what, you can replace that word receives with the word honor. Some translations use the word honor. Most assuredly I say to you, he who receives or honors whomever I send receives or honors me. And he who receives or honors me receives or honors him who sent me. You see that? The Bible says in Ephesians 4 that Jesus gave some to be apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man, that we would no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men in their cunning craftiness and deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, that we would grow up in him who is the head, Jesus Christ. Jesus gave those gifts, the fivefold ministry, to the body of Christ. He says, if you will honor and receive the one that I sent, then you are receiving and honoring who? Him. You see that? I said, did you see that? Amen. That's important. That's significant. All right. I know you all are getting restless. Got one more verse for you. Go with me to Proverbs 3. See, this thing with honor is all about your heart. You ever have people come up to you and, you know, they're smiling and treating you real nice and all kind, and you know what? You don't really want to be around them. You know what it is? They're saying all the right things, they're acting right, but in their mind, they're thinking, why did he show up? Well, you know, they're thinking something negative. And see, that's a lack of honor. And you know what? People pick that up. We pick that up. God has designed us that way. That's why when we start honoring one another and we really are operating in this, people are going to come here. Man, I want to be here. Amen. You see that? Oh, this is important. All right. Go with me to Proverbs chapter 3, and we're going to take communion. We got another hour here, so we'll be all right. Kevin, it's good to see you, Kevin. Proverbs 3, verse 9. Listen to this. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your what? Increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Now, what's he saying here? Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of your increase. First fruits, you know what that is? That's your tithe. 10% of what you bring in. Oh, he's talking about money again. How many times have I talked about money this year? Zero. You're not going to get beat up about money. It's your life. I'm going to show you And it's up to you to obey God, right? Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. First fruits is the 10%, the tithe. When you are on, the number one problem that comes into this church is people don't have enough money. People calling and needing help financially. That's more than any problem in the church. The number one reason for divorce, you know what it is? Money. Money. Why? Help me out. Because they're not honoring God in their finances. Not honoring God in their finances. And when you will begin to honor God in your finances, look what he says. Your barns will be full. What, Phil? What's a barn? Your house? Your cupboards? Your checkbook? Your gas tank? Gas prices are going up. They sure are. Things are changing. But you know what? It don't matter how high they get. You honor this principle, your tank's going to be full. Are you listening to me? Now watch this. Your vats will overflow with new wine. You know what new wine is? New wine always in the Old Testament represents the presence of God. Always. When you obey God in this area of your life, you tap into the presence of God. He says in his presence in Psalm 16, he will show you the path of life. Next week, we're going to talk about this. Now, make sure you come back. Because, folks, do we need this? Do we need this? This is what God is doing in his church. He's restoring honor and respect. Okay. I'm going to ask that those who are helping with communion to come forward. On the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread, the loaf, he took it and broke it. He says, "This is my body broken for you. Take and eat. Do this in remembrance of me." On the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the cup. You know what? I always like to share that this is a time we need to examine ourselves, right? Remember, examine? It's the process of making steel. When they examined steel in its liquid form, they would take out all of the alloys, all the things that weakened the steel, so that when it was hardened, it would be strong for its purpose. And so that's what we do. If we know there's sin in our life, we can repent right there. Because that will weaken you towards God's purpose in your life. If you're aware of that, you can repent of it right there where you sit and come to the Lord's table. Remember 1 John 1:9. Right? If you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That's why we should never feel guilty. See, the enemy will always make you feel guilty. But you know what? If you understand what I'm talking about, repentance, you won't have to be dealing with guilt all the time. He took the cup. He said, "This is the blood of the new covenant. Take and drink. Do this in remembrance of me." Now, on the night he was betrayed, remember? This is a celebration. In other words, when you're betrayed, time to throw a party. You can't do that apart from Christ. You'll always want to retaliate. You'll always want to get your own way. And betrayal has the power to take you off track and keep you from all that God has for you. Am I making sense? I know I say this all the time, But I was sharing last night, and they said last night, they've heard that 100 times, but they got it last night. Folks, we need to keep hearing it, don't we? You come to the table as the Lord leads you.